Greetings, flock. This is Jasmine, and this is your weekly bonus content. I am so excited that Richa Mehta is joining us again today for our flock bonus content. So welcome to the flock, Richa.
Thank you, Jasmine.
I really got so much out of talking to you about everything that you're doing with your advocacy efforts. I think that the 10 weeks to vegan program is very hopeful, very cool. I like the approach that you're taking, but I'd love to talk to you a little bit more right now about you and what brought you to being in the place you are as an activist. Can you tell me a little bit about your childhood and what your relationship was with food growing up?
Sure. I was raised vegetarian, and when I went to college first time, I started eating meat, and then I became non-vegetarian. However, you know, during that time, I was an animal lover. I remember my first rescue very well. It was a pig, and it was fallen in a pit, and I was helping a couple of other people to, you know, take him out. But I never realized that I'm loving animals at the same time I'm eating them until I've started working with my first animal rights organization. I did investigation, undercover investigation of dairy and poultry farms. And I realized that so much is happening to these animals, so much cruelty and so much exploitation. When I learned about that, it was a turning point for me. And then I went vegan. Yeah, this is how I went vegan.
Well, I think so many of us can relate to that. So I'm always curious when I talk to activists, when you look back to your childhood, are there things you can point to now that might have started your journey of empathy and compassion and justice?
I don't know. My father, he was very compassionate towards animals. He was always helping animals. And whenever there was any female dog in our society, they gave birth to puppies. My dad used to, you know, cook food for them. And, you know, we used to feed food to the mother and babies. I think that's how I was compassionate to animals. Up to a certain point in my life, I was so blind what is happening to farm animals, because for me, companion animals were the animals to whom you love and, you know, you care about. I could never differentiate this thing until I have seen things with my own eyes. But I think my father was one of the reasons that I started working for animals. I remember very well, he got a dog. So there was a stray dog, and he got that dog. And we told my dad that, you know, we should get him trained. And my dad said that he's a living being and he's not something that you should train. So let him be the way he is and don't do these things with the dog. We should not do that.
I have to believe that we were born as these like innately compassionate beings that became very socially conditioned to do things that are sort of impossible for vegans to wrap our heads around. But as you said in the main interview, most of us weren't born vegan. So we did have to overcome that.
Yes.
I'm curious, since we're looking back in time here, if you were to go back to yourself as a young activist, perhaps when you started the Pratibha Foundation, which was around 10 years ago, 11 years ago, what advice would you have for a younger version of you? Like, what did you not know then that you know now?
I would definitely like to advise myself to be more patient, because when I was young, I wanted things change rapidly. I got frustrated when things were not happening the way I wanted, or when I was talking to someone, explaining them, they were so rigid about their beliefs. So I would like to advise myself that be patient, and you should not agitated, you should not get impacted by whatever obstacles or challenges that you will face. Just stick to your goal, move towards that direction, and you will be able to change things. So patience is something that I would like to give myself, my younger version, in the past. Yeah,
I need that advice now. So I appreciate that reminder. And I guess my final question for you too, since we were looking back, let's look ahead. You just gave advice to you 10 years ago. If you could put yourself 10 years into the future, how do you want to see the world? What do you want to see it becoming?
I want to see, you know, everyone become vegan. I'm there, like I'm here on this planet because every one of us has a limited lifespan. And that is something I'm like hoping that within my existence here, if that could happen. I know it's very impossible and difficult, but that is something I would love to see, you know, my future.
We have to think like that. I think we need to act like that is possible. I think that for our own sanity, it is necessary for us to just go about our advocacy efforts, believing that this has an end game. And, you know, maybe sometimes we're opting in to think like that, but, you know, there's value in that. There's value in believing and hoping. Well, Richa, thank you so much for joining us on our Hen House and for staying on with me today and chatting with the flock. I really admire you so much. And it's been a real honor to get to know you a little bit more. And I hope you stay in touch with us and let us know how we can support your efforts and stay on top of all of the wonderful ways you're changing the world for animals.
Sure. Thank you so much, Jasmine. I love talking to you, and definitely whatever you people are doing, it's amazing. Spreading the message out. We never know who is listening to this or any other podcast. You're actually impacting lives, changing lives, touching them.
Thank
you. So it's amazing that what you're doing.
Well, thank you.
So inspiring.